So as they were peeling their bananas, the train entered a tunnel. Little Johnny spoke to Everly and said, "Everly, have you eaten your banana yet?" She said, "No, not yet." He said, "Well, don't. I took one bite and I went blind." Sometimes life catches us off guard. And when it does, we can become excited. We're talking about this week, and actually we've started a series. It's called Spirit-Filled and Spirit-Led. Last week we were talking about this as well, and I gave many of you a bracelet as you left church last week. And on one side it has the God Zone, and on one side it has the Den. If you didn't get a bracelet, I want to give you one. I know you two didn't. This is Mike and Kim. So good to have you. Okay. All right. I would throw it, but I probably am not a good thrower. There you go. Carson, would you help me get me out? There's a couple back here that... Oh, Ron needs one too. If it doesn't fit, I can't help that. My wife cut it in two and stitched it together to make it fit her wrist. So maybe that'll help you. So what this is, I want to explain to you what the God Zone is. Go ahead, if you would, to the next slide. So, I don't know. There it comes. On one side, you have the God Zone, which is the peace of God that passes all understanding. And Scripture says that we can walk in that. Actually, he says we can walk in the joy of the Lord, the love, joy, peace, patience, etc. And so as we walk in that, we can experience God in us, working through us. But oftentimes there are some dangerous emotions that take us out of the God Zone. And I don't know what your most dangerous emotion is. It might be anger, it might be fear, it might be jealousy, it could be a lot of different things. But all of us seem to have a trigger emotion that will take us out of the God Zone, that will steal our peace. I was sharing with somebody this morning that Sunday mornings are always stressful for me. Because I have to make sure my heart is right. And I want to make sure the Lord is with me. I talk to the Lord every Sunday morning, and just like Moses said, "God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going." And so that's my prayer. God, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. And oftentimes, I don't know whether he's with me until I get up here to present what I feel like God has laid on my heart. And so Sunday mornings are a little stressful until I can sense the Spirit and see what's going on. I feel God working in our midst today, so I praise the Lord for that. But as you wear your bracelet, when you're walking in the Spirit, you can turn it over to the God Zone. And when you're in the dangerous emotional neighborhood, maybe destructive emotional neighborhood, you can turn it over to the Den. Where are you today? Everybody's silent. Where are you today? You know, we need to kind of ask that of ourselves on a moment-by-moment place. And sometimes I don't know that I'm in the Den until I say something or do something. Oh, man, that wasn't right. What caused me to say that? Where are my emotions? What's causing me to act like that? And so, the purpose of the series is to teach you and myself how to walk in the Spirit of God on a continual basis. Like I shared last week, where I am in my spiritual life now, I still visit the Den on occasion. I live in the God Zone, but many Christians live in the Den and visit the God Zone on occasion. Okay? So the question is, where are you? Where do you want to be? And are you willing to do what it takes to get there? Okay? Probably you've discovered as you move through life that things don't get any easier. You think, you know, as a teenager, you've got these temptations and you're like, man, I just want to be married. And so one day you get married and then there's a new challenges. Oh, we just want to have children. And then there's new challenges. It's like there's the financial drain has become unplugged and there's no finances, there's nothing. I mean, everything are just, you know, out the window. And so you think, man, it'll be good. Well, men think, possibly, it'll be good when we have an empty nest. I don't think women ever think that. And then the children move out, and then there are new challenges. And then health begins to deteriorate. And then there are new financial burdens. New trials. New problems. You're going to think, man, this is a horrible sermon. I don't know why I came today. This is very depressing. Here's the thing. Throughout our lives, as we face these challenges, as we face these troubles and trials and temptations, the Lord says that we can experience the perfect peace of God that passes all understanding. I can't explain it to you. Paul says there's no words to explain to you what it means to have the peace of God in your life. But he says, regardless of what trials you face, you can walk with God and have an experience the peace of God in your life. So, I mentioned last week that when you come to a situation in your life where you are in the God zone and you feel yourself going into the dangerous emotional neighborhood, one of the things you need to do is vent to God. You need to vent to God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Did you know that you, and I said this last week, I just want to reaffirm it. Did you know that you can determine whether your heart will be troubled or not? You make that decision. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, it just happens. My heart's troubled. I didn't make it happen. It just happened. But Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. So we have a responsibility in whether or not our heart is troubled or not. Okay? Another way that we find in Scripture that we can keep our heart from being troubled is that we can determine what we think about. This passage of Scripture in Philippians 4:8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Let me ask you a question. If you're continually thinking about things that are excellent, worthy of praise, pure, honorable, lovely, do you think your heart will be troubled? No. It's not going to be troubled because here's the deal. Your mind and what you think about will drive your emotions. And your emotions will drive your actions. So if you're thinking about stealing something, but all you're going to do is just think about it. You're not going to do it. There automatically becomes a desire in you to begin to thinking, man, I want that. Whatever it is you're thinking about stealing. And so, eventually, you're going to do what you've been thinking about. So let's just say, A lot of people woke up this morning and said, man, I don't want to go to church. That's their thought. I just don't want to go to church. So the thought drove their emotions and then drove their decisions. So the question becomes, what am I going to think about? You have to think about what you're thinking about. You've got to think about what you're thinking about. And if it's not wholesome, if it's not good, if it's not pure, if it's not right, then you need to stop the stinking thinking. And you need to change your thought pattern, because whatever you think about is going to drive your emotions. If you woke up on Sunday morning and thought, man, I just love church. I love the people at church. Even if you don't, just start thinking. I love going there, and I love meeting. If you began thinking that, guess what? What your emotions would begin to do? Your emotions would begin getting excited about going to church. And then you would say, man, I'm going to go to church. You're thinking drives your actions. And so Paul is saying, fix your thoughts on what's good, honorable, true, right, pure, lovely, admirable. If anything is praiseworthy or excellent, man, put your mind on these things. A lot of us struggle because of where our mind goes, and we just allow it to go wherever it wants to, rather than taking captive those thoughts and bringing it under the submission of Jesus Christ. I'm going to move on. So, I told you last week that there are five triggers that take us out of the God zone. Five triggers. All right? One is life circumstances. We're going to be talking more about that today. The second one is fleshly desires. The third one is rebellion. Or it should be disobedience. I wrote that one incorrectly. Disobedience. Fourth one is strongholds, which we're addressing on Monday nights at First Christian Church. Dean Chris and I are talking about the strongholds, so I won't deal a lot with that. And then the last one is attacks from the enemy. So what happens oftentimes, and as we talk about these more, it would come more clear to you, hopefully. But I found that when I'm not in the God zone, and I'm in the den, it helps me to recognize how to get back in if I know what took me out. Okay? If I know what took me out of the God zone, then it helps me to know how to get back in if I know the particulars about that situation. Does that make sense? And so hopefully this will become familiar to you, and you can begin asking, when you're not in the God zone, you can say, Lord, is this life circumstances that have me down, or disobedience, or rebellion, or fleshly appetites, or Lord, what is it exactly? And so we'll, as we go further on, we will be explaining that to you. So in regards to life circumstances, what ticks you off? You don't have to answer. What ticks you off? What gets under your skin? What freaks you out? What causes you to curse? What frustrates you? What infuriates you? What do you desire that you feel you must have in order to be happy? And what have you been stressed about this week? What have you been stressed about this week? We find in, every one of us go through difficult seasons in our life. How many of you have ever been through a difficult season? Okay? And I say season because they don't last forever. Okay? They don't last forever. There is a season. And we either get to learn to grow in the Lord and learn how to stay in the Spirit during those seasons, or we continue to camp out in the den. Anything can take us out. Hit my thumb with a hammer and take you out. You have a flat tire on the way to work, take you out. You have a car wreck, you can take you out. Some things are more devastating than others. I think of Mr. Lee at junior high school. They just buried his wife yesterday. That's a devastating thing. Is it possible to mourn and grieve and still be at peace with the Lord? Definitely. So I'm not saying that what you have to do is just, oh, be cheerful, ooh, everything's good and hunky-dory. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, even during devastating, difficult situations in your life, you can go to the Lord. And you can get comfort. You can get solace. You can get direction during those times in your life and be at peace with the Lord even when there's difficulties going on. Okay, I don't want you to be confused about this. One thing that if you're faking it, is that a hypocrite? If you're hurting and you're pretending to be okay. So I'm not talking about pretending everything is good. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is putting your faith and your trust in God, knowing that He's got it. Even though it's a horrible situation. You remember, there are people here in our congregation, some who've gone through some health issues, going through health issues. We've got a lady in our congregation who's basically homeless with two children, and that can be a little bit stressful. You don't know what the doctors, in regarding to health issues, how the doctors, what they're going to say, or they're going to do, and that can become stressful. And if we're not careful, life situations can take us out rather than us putting our eyes on the Lord. You remember the story, of the three Hebrew children in the Old Testament, and the king said to them, if you do not bow down when you hear the music, you don't bow down, if you don't bend your knee, if you don't worship idol, then you're going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. Let's just say you were there, you were one of the three. What would that have done to you? Probably freaked me out. Well, the music played, they didn't bend, they didn't bow, they didn't budge. And the king said, if you don't bow down to this, I'll give you a second chance. If you don't bow down, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. This is their response. O king, our God is able even to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But if He doesn't, we will never bow. We will never bend. And we will never budge. We will continue worship the Lord. How were they able to stay and maintain their peace during that time? Stephen, Paul, other disciples in the New Testament. Every one of them, except for John, was martyred, killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. Peter one time was in prison. They had just killed James. And I was reading this account the other day. They had just killed James, and Herod saw, man, this pleased everybody. So let's kill another one. And so captured Peter. They put him in jail. And they were going to kill him the next day. And the angel had to come and wake him up. But Peter wasn't worried a bit, was he? He just slept like a baby. Why? How was he able to do that? Paul and Silas were in prison, in bondage, in chains, and they just started singing. How were they able to do that? What caused them to be able to maintain their peace and joy during the time when things were the most difficult in their life? Isaiah 26:3 says this: "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. So here's the deal. During life situations, if you lose your peace, that means you're not trusting. Okay? If you get fearful, if you get anxious, if you get angry, if you get ticked off, if you get freaked out, this means you're not trusting the Lord during that time in your life. Trust and peace go hand in hand. If you've lost your peace, you're not trusting. If another emotion begins to drive your decisions other than peace, then you're not trusting the Lord. It's easy to say, harder to do. It's easy to say, trust the Lord, just trust the Lord. I mean, that's one of our favorite quotes. Just trust the Lord. Well, that's easy to say. But when life feels like it's strangling you, it's hard to do. But others before us have done it. So can you. And so can I. Every year during the Christmas season, we celebrate what we call, we take an offering for our missions, and it's called the Lonnie Moon Christmas Offering. And so I just want to share with you a little bit about Lonnie Moon. She was a missionary to China. At 13 years old, her dad passed away. Grew up on a plantation and I think in Virginia, and possibly had some bitterness toward God because of that. She didn't go to church. She didn't follow the Lord in any way. As a matter of fact, she was so rebellious that people called her the devil's child. But then one day a friend invited her to church. Lottie Moon went to church with her, and when she was there, she felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. She went home and spent all night in prayer confessing and repenting of her sins. And the Lord came into her life. And she determined that she wasn't going to be a missionary, so she went to seminary to prepare to be a missionary. And so at that time, there were not a lot of women missionaries, but she discerned this. She said this. This is one of her statements: "If I had 1,000 lives I would give them all for the women of China. So she got to China and she began sharing the gospel with the Chinese, and they wouldn't respond to her. As a matter of fact, she came from a pretty wealthy family, and so her family would give her the finances, and so she would cook these biscuits and treats for the Chinese. The Chinese were not very, they didn't have a lot at that time. And so the Chinese thought that she, because she was an American, because she was Christian, they thought that she had poisoned the food. And so they wouldn't eat it. And so she should determine, well, so what else can I do? So she began working with the women, doing yarning and knitting and sewing and that kind of thing, and eventually got a group of women to come around her and was able to begin leading some to Christ. During her 40 years in China, she took only 3 furloughs. She was intending to come back to the United States at one time, and as she did, men from Pentau arrived on foot and pleading with her to come work in their city, where many were eager to hear the gospel. And so Lottie abandoned her plans to go back, come to the United States. She left for there. When she was in her 70s, China suffered a severe famine. And Lottie Moon decided that she wouldn't eat because the people didn't have anything to eat. And so she became ill. She put on a boat to return to America, but died of starvation when the ship reached Kobe, Japan. What caused her to do that? She's got a love that I don't have. She probably has a piece of God that haven't experienced yet. Something about these individuals that were able to walk with God throughout, no matter what they went through, they were able to walk in these things. I want you to understand there's 5 eternal truths that will help you stand in the Spirit. Okay? 5 eternal truths. The first one is, there's nothing that happens in our lives that God doesn't know about it. Nothing that's going on in your life at this moment that God isn't aware of it. He knows what you're going through. He knows the pain you suffer, and even then, Scripture says that He feels the pain. He empathizes with us. He knows the trials you face. Scripture says in Luke 12 that He knows the numbers of hair on your head. It's not much to count mine, but for some of you, God knows, God cares, and you need to understand that He loves you. And what has taken place in your life, the second one is, God is almighty, God is all-powerful, He's on the throne. Some people may disagree with me regarding this, but there are things that happen outside God's will. God does not desire, it never has been His will for evil to happen. It never has been His desire for children to be abused. It never has been His desire. So there are some things that happen outside His will. But even then, God is able to do and work wonderful things even through that. Scripture says we know, and we know, and we know, and we know that all things work together for good. Have you ever heard anybody quote that passage? We know that everything works together for good. Have any of you heard that before? They forget many times to forget to quote the last part of that passage. Because it's a promise to God's children. The promise is that no matter what has happened in your life, good, bad, indifferent, no matter what has happened in your life, the promise is to God's children that He will use it for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. How many of you have ever suffered some evil things in your life? Some of you may be suffering now. This is a promise to you. If you love God, you're one of His children. If He's called you into His kingdom, and He's called you for His purpose, and He's going to work that out for good. He's going to work it out for good. And if you, I think some of these people, we talk about Stephen, we talk about Lottie Moon, we talk about Paul and Silas. They knew no matter what happened, God was going to use it for good. They had that assurance in their heart. I think sometimes we need that assurance. No, even though we're going through difficult seasons, even though you may be in chronic pain, even though your whole life may feel like it's messed up right now, if you turn your heart to the Lord and begin loving Him, begin following Him, He says, I'll use even that for good. If you love Me, follow My purposes, I will use it for good. The fourth thing is, God's peace is yours, but you might have to fight for it. You remember Jesus in the garden? He spent several hours in the garden just before His crucifixion. He knew He was going to be enduring the cross. And do you think He was at total peace during that? No. Matter of fact, Scripture says in Luke, He was horrified. He could have ran from what God had called him to do. He was terrified. As a matter of fact, He told His disciples, I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like I'm going to die. He was in a horrible place emotionally. But He was able to fight through it so that He had peace at the end. And He was able to face the cross with peace because He fought the battle in the garden. And I want you to know that God's peace is for you, but you may have to fight for it. You may have to spend some time on your knees before the Lord. You may have to start sharing with Him those things that are deep in your heart so that you can get some peace about those things. God wants you to have His peace. He says it's the gift to you. Jesus said, My peace I give to you. I want to give you My peace, but the only way you can have it is if you can trust Him in the middle of the storm. And you can trust Him with the storm. And you can trust Him with the aftermath of the storm. The fifth thing is, you might have to call for assistance. Did you know that there are some times I get in the den and I can't get out by myself? I get so emotionally in a place, in a pit, that I can't seem to get out and I can't get to a place of peace. And so that's what my friends are for. That's what the church is for. So when Jesus was in that pit of despair, did he call on anybody to help him? He called on Peter. He asked John. He asked James, would you come pray with me? Would you help me? I'm in a horrible place right now. Did you know it's okay to tell your brothers and sisters who you can confide in that you're in a horrible place? It's okay. Jesus said it. But no, I don't want anybody to know I'm in a horrible place. But I tell you what, if it's living in the pit or living in the God zone, or living in the Spirit, I'm going to tell somebody. If I can't get out myself, I'm going to tell somebody. I'm in a horrible place. I've gone to my wife on occasions and said, would you pray for me? I'm in a bad place right now. Can't get out on my own. So, do you want to live in the den? Or do you want to live in the Spirit? Whose decision is that? That's right. Each one of us. It's our decision. Paul and Silas was attacked by a mob, thrown in prison, put in chains and in bonds. They began singing. Something miraculous happened. The chains fell off. They were set free. And in the middle of that, they were able to lead the jailer and his family to Christ. I want to say this. Even if life's circumstances have you down, start praising the Lord anyway. You'll be amazed at the chains that will fall off of you. Who knows that you might touch someone else? God's got some wonderful things in store for us, but we will never experience it till we learn to walk in the Spirit. God wants to lead you. God wants to guide you. So would you this morning take the things that I've shared with you and begin to put them into practice? Would you leave the den, get in the God zone, and stay there as best as you're able? Would you do that? This morning, there may be someone here who does not even know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I talk about the peace of God that passes all understanding, and it's kind of like, man, I don't even understand what he's talking about. And the truth is, you will never understand it until you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because he's the Prince of Peace. He wants to give that to you. That's yours. What happens is when we ask for forgiveness and ask the Lord to come into our heart, he takes away all of our sin. He makes us clean. He makes us a clean vessel so that the things that you've done in your past are not held against you anymore. And you don't even have to live in that fear of somebody knowing. You don't have to live in the guilt and in the shame, because God says, I'll take that all away from you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then you can experience a relationship with God that Jesus has always wanted for you. So this morning we're going to have a time of invitation. And as we sing, and you, if there's a decision you need to make, I'm going to ask you, it don't matter if anybody else is looking. It don't matter. It don't matter if somebody else sees you kneeling here at the altar. It don't matter. It don't matter if somebody sees you coming to me and me praying for you. It don't matter. This congregation will be praying for you. So just do what God asks you to.